Here's Higdon. It sits up nicely for Michael Higdon. And what a start for Motherwell. But here's Malt, and he goes for it first time. Magnificent Malt. Stephen Robinson celebrates. Motherwell, two up. And could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr. And Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid. He scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Today another new voice, Scott McClure, joins us to look back in two wins. Victory over Accies in the derby and then yesterday's brilliant 3-0 victory over Hibs. Scott, welcome along.
Thanks for having us, Andy. Really pleasure to be here.
Well, we're recording from the comfort of the front of Scott's car today. We're mixing it up a wee bit. Technical issues, not for the first time it must be said. Yesterday, Scott, 3-0 victory over Hibs. A poor Hibs side, there's no getting away from that, but the Motherwell performance, very, very positive. 3-0, and we missed plenty of chances to actually extend that lead as well. Got to be very, very satisfied going into the break. 7 points out of 12.
That's it, 7 points out of 12. If you look back at the start of the season and you'd have said at this point we had seven points, I think most Motherwell fans would have taken it with both hands. But just in relation to yesterday's performance, it's just great coming out of the stand and actually hearing everybody talking about enjoying the football, which is completely the opposite for a few weeks ago against Hearts, where everybody's doom and gloom. So it just shows you the difference that a couple of weeks can make.
And that, again, you touched on what my next question was going to be, actually. The Hearts game, you're out the cup, you've lost heavily to Celtic the week before, drew at Livingston, which, albeit is a difficult place to go, you're thinking this is going to be a long season. Suddenly, you're 7 points from 12, you've won your last two. Accies, we've had plenty of struggles at New Douglas Park. We then comfortably dispose of Hibs, who were expected to be challenging up at the top end of the table. And you're going to that break full of positivity and even thinking, could we challenge for Europe? Could we be a top six side this season? So it's a fickle game, isn't it? But
the thing is, though, that I think that is a good point, because I think there's a real positivity in the League Cup. I personally love the League Cup format, but particularly against Morton, I recall driving home after the game, and I'm pretty sure it was either Richard Gordon that was raving about Seedorf, Hilton, and even Illich at the time. And Robinson had said, it looks as if I've got my recruitment right. So I came into the season really thinking, we've got to do really, really well. And then nothing each against Livy. Aye, all right, as you said, it is an acceptable result. But if I'm honest with you, I kind of thought we might sneak it because of the performances. For then it's to then get beat with Celtic and then get put out with Hearts, and a poor Hearts side, I have to say. I think just at that point, I think that's why there was as much negativity. Being a Motherwell fan, you're always going to be negative. But now as we're sitting here saying, we've got two positive results and we're going to now think that we're going to push for third place. Do you know what I mean? Over the next couple of weeks.
I know, I actually looked at social media last night and all people could find was the scoreboard broke down for a wee bit and also the Davy Cooper bar. That was the main sources of frustration because people are actually searching for something to moan about, because really the last two games have been a lot more positive, and we'll touch on Naki's game a wee bit later, but yesterday for me as well, there was bits where I thought there was real need for improvement in Naki's game. Not maybe drastic need for improvement, but there was plenty to build on. That again, yesterday was a more rounded performance. Again, Robinson said afterwards that there is elements that he saw that we'll need to work on. But that's another positive for me. We're looking to move forward. Robinson isn't getting carried away. We've beaten a Hibs side that were conceding goals freely in the weeks leading up to visiting Fir Park. but they've still got to be there and still got to dispose of them. We missed a few chances to kind of extend the lead at 1-0, and you've got it in the back of your mind that what happens if they get a breakaway and level this up. But we eventually got the second goal through a penalty after being denied one of the most stonewall penalties of the season, it must be said. And then again, push on and get the third goal. Jermaine Hilton's first goal at Fir Park, adding to Sherwin Seedorf's first goal at Fir Park. And that's another element. You look back to the Hearts game, there was plenty of discerning voices about Sherwin Seedorf, about Jermaine Hilton, and whether they would actually be up to the task of playing in the Scottish Premiership. A few answers, or a few replies from both guys yesterday.
Yeah, but I really like the look at Hilton. I think potentially, obviously, the easy example is Marvin Johnson. It took him a wee bit of time, and I think you've just got to give guys like this a fair bit of time. But we need to remember that, alright, Seedorf came for Wolves, but he's only 21, he's Dutch, he's just learning his game. He's got pace to burn, but he needs to learn his trade. I think we need to be a bit patient. But I mean, look at the way he finished that yesterday. He's going to be a very, very frustrating player. But again, it's still cliche, if he was the complete player, he wouldn't be playing with Mallorough. But I've got no doubt that, given him, being patient with him, I think Robinson's doing really, really well starting him, not doing his confidence. He does look as if he needs to build up his fitness, but I also think that's a main positive. One of the things that I've been really encouraged with is the front three and our ability to change the front three. We've got Cole and Hilton coming off the bench yesterday, with James Scott, who I also thought had a decent game. And these kind of interlock into left-sided, right-sided, central, which really gives Hibs a bit of difficulty. So that's a real positive for me. And we've got Craig Tanner to come back. We've got nobody knows what Christy Mazunga, I think, the overhead kick specialist, is going to be like. Get, I say all of this,
Casper Sloth,
David Turnbull. But I say all of this about the front three, I still would like another striker for some reason, just to be a bit different. I think somebody like, dare I say it, I don't want Ryan Bowman back, but somebody, a big rough and ready striker, I think would be perfect toil for a guy like Long, who was a hero last week, not the villain this week, but certainly missed a few gilt-edged chances, but it didn't matter in the end.
And you're not always going to get the situation where your striker can pass up to golden opportunities, really, like Chris Long did, and you get away with it. You're certainly not going to win by a 3-goal margin on many occasions when your target man misses two chances like that. But I think what I've seen from Long is he might be the kind of guy that scores more goals from 20 yards out than he does tap-ins. The way that he took his goal at Aki's the week before kind of shows that for me. Whereas when he was in goal, he perhaps didn't demonstrate that composure to tuck them away. Really, he should be taking the two chances that he had, but maybe I'm kind of looking for things to moan about there too much, but I still think we do need that, what you said, a kind of out-and-out striker, someone that's just going to put the ball in the net.
I mean,
hard to find.
I'm only using Ryan Bowman as a comparison because I think that Ryan Bowman, when Curtis Main, I would never want Curtis Main back either, but when Curtis Main was going through his, we'll call it a purple patch, I think that was really all down to the likes of Bowman flicking the ball on, doing the dirty work. And I mean, you've got to think about when Curtis Main was playing with Mullerow, the amount of chances that he missed, that he seemed to be hitting hitting the ball too hard at times, and I don't know, but he was getting in the right positions. And I just feel as if Long had that, then we'd maybe be able to judge him better, because at the moment he's obviously got the two wide players, and he's really up there. He's not on his own, but centrally he is, and I would like to have that option of a kind of a I wouldn't have been averse to seeing somebody like Kyle Lafferty, just because he's done Hearts, but he's obviously in Norway now, but I wouldn't have been averse to seeing somebody like that. But at the end of the day, if we can go and beat Hibs 3-0, I'm pretty sure that we could probably hold their own against the majority of the SPL. If that's my positive thinking at the moment, anyway.
When you talk about that, and Ryan Bowman, does that risk the style of play? Because the quality of play and the way that we won yesterday was a big positive. I think we've mentioned the word positive about 40 times in the first 10 minutes here, but do you suddenly go back to what was happening with Curtis Main, where the ball's launched at him? You're hoping to get a flick on and Main gets that chance. I would hate to see us jeopardise the style of football that we're producing just now for one.
No, I totally 100% agree with you, but what my thinking is, I see like games at Livingston, I think maybe playing to, I mean, they are now playing the way that we probably played a couple of years back, and maybe for the last 10-15 minutes changing it up a wee bit. And I don't think we've got that option. If a team's going to be trying to shut us out, I just think it's another option if we want to try and change it. Although we seem to be able to change it pretty well. I thought Cole looked pretty, that was his kind of best performance. Everybody that I thought played really well. What I will say is, where I was sitting in East Stand, there was a bit of murmurs, oh, I hope he doesn't bring on that Illich. But I think again, we need to give the guy a chance. I know he scored a couple of goals through the week, but again, I think we need to give the guy a chance to come on and actually see what he can do. Because he's kind of been written off at the moment. So we just need to wait and see where that goes. But I do agree with you. The football, for we went but to the bog standard 4-3-3, it's definitely been much better to watch. But it's just having that wee extra option as an out-and-out striker, I think, would maybe make that wee bit of a difference.
And after the game, Robinson did indicate that the reserve matches in the next couple of weeks will be important to get some more game time in the legs of certain players. Kasper Slothberg, I mentioned fleetingly there. Kasper by name and nature at the moment, because we don't really know what's happening with him. Maybe that'll be answered in the reserve games in the next couple of weeks. The selection yesterday, Richard Tate, who had missed out at Aki's, missed out again. I would have thought that he would have been one of the guys that would have been quite likely to come back in. Peter Hartley had come in the week before and he retained his place alongside Declan Gallagher, Charles Dunn dropping to the bench, and we looked very solid. Maybe Robinson actually getting the back four, which I've said in the past, I just felt that there was something not quite right. I wasn't sure whether Peter Hartley was the answer to that question, but in the last 2 weeks, he's certainly shown his defensive qualities. His experience is obviously very, very important. He played a captain's role beside Declan Gallagher, who's been phenomenal since he came in.
That's another point. I mean, Declan Gallagher has been, he's been great. He's an improvement in Tom Aldred, in my opinion. And Tom Aldred, for me, was a great signing. But Gallagher has just come in and he's, I think everybody was kind of, had a poor second half against Celtic. I think that's the only time that I've really been kind of concerned about him playing. But I agree with you. I think Peter Hartley is the kind of, he's a great captain to have. Again, this is all through a positive frame of mind because of the results we've had, but is it a coincidence that our form's turned around for Hartley's come in? He looks fitter. I don't know if his training regime's changed. I know he's doing a lot of kind of personal training stuff, but I've taken some notes, and the first thing that I've wrote on it is Hartley. I just think that I like Charlie Dunn. I like having a kind of pacey player, but Peter Hartley is your old no-nonsense defender, and maybe that's what we need. So yes, I definitely think that Hartley looks and Gallagher look like a great pair.
They're very impressive notes as well, written on an envelope in what appears to be a green felt tip pen. Preparation is key, and I'm very impressed by that.
I'm struggling to read it right enough.
we'll talk about Luke Pryor and the win at Aki's. Again, a convincing victory, a very pleasing victory. I know you were elsewhere last Saturday. We go 2-0 up, deservedly so. Again, it was a game that we were passing up a few chances. We had all the momentum, and you're thinking, I hope this doesn't come back to bite us. But we got that first goal through Peter Hartley. The second one comes through a Liam Donnelly penalty after a handball on the line, very, very blatant, it must be said. Aki's go down to 10, we're 2-0 up, and suddenly you're thinking, how many do we want here? But they did get back in it through a penalty. Chris Long scores early on in the second half. We wouldn't add to that tally, but a convincing 3 points at a place that we've come a cropper a few times in the past. A big 3 points as well, because we talk about turning points of your season. You go there and perhaps labour to a draw, or you lose. Suddenly you've got 1 point from your first three. Aki's are ahead of you in the table, and you're thinking, here goes, this could be a bit of a struggle. Instead, you go there, win convincingly. You've got the momentum on your side, and that showed yesterday with the win against Hibs. And all of a sudden, you're looking up the way rather than looking over your shoulder. It's 7 points from the first 12. Again, that's a reference point for the third time in the podcast, but there's teams at the bottom now, and we've got a bit of breathing space over them, and it just feels a much more positive league table to look at just now.
It does, just in relation to the Aki's game. As you said, I was down at Anfield last week for the Liverpool-Arsenal game, but I managed to catch some of the game down in. And the thing that, obviously I've not been there, the things that I picked up was we just seem to be strolling it. And one of my other great notes I've got is Liam Donnelly. I don't know if you remember the reserve league cup final at Tynecastle, if you were at the game. Liam Donnelly and Danny Johnson both played, and they were the two worst players in the park. And I said to my brother-in-law that was at the game with me that he'll never make it at Motherwell. So he had a lot to do to win me over. But what I noticed when I was watching it, you watch a different game when you're watching it on your phone in a stream. I really just felt that he just looked great. He just looked so assured, and he scored a lot of goals, a few penalties. Maybe his performances are overshadowed by that, but I just think that he makes a real difference. I was worried he was just going to be Carroll McHugh Mark II, but he's really, really come in. And even yesterday, going back to the Hibs game, it was him that sets up the goal, but his movement off the ball, I just hope that it doesn't turn sour. That's me being negative, but I really just think he strolled the game. That's what, even my wee boy, Ben's 8, and he said, "Oh, Dad, look, Liam Donnelly's playing really well again." And that's good that Ben's starting to notice that. But the Aki's game, I just thought, it could have been more, but at the same time, we never really looked like we were ever under any threat, even after they scored.
Yeah, and I think that's important, because obviously the wind goes back into their sails when they get the goal back, but they were always second best. They always will be second best, it must be said, but a comfortable victory, and I don't think we'll get many more comfortable victories than the one we got last Saturday. Now, we're talking about Liam Donnelly, and before we started, we were discussing him as well. I think that the performances of Liam Paulworth, and in particular Alan Campbell, really, really do help Liam Donnelly along. Yeah. Liam Donnelly's obviously got his call up to the Northern Ireland squad, and they're deservedly so, because you look at, he was a standout obviously for their under-21s, but wasn't getting into your team, and you think, why is that the case? You referenced the League Cup final for
the reserves at Tynecastle against Hearts. Yeah. He was very poor,
and you think, is this guy going to make it? And he finished the season well and scored a few goals towards the end of the season, and that's obviously led into the League Cup, where he's done very well as well. It's a confidence game, but he seems very, very comfortable in the centre of the park, whereas defensively, he worried me massively.
Likewise, and I think he had a lot of fans to win over, if not kind of just about all of us, I would say. But what I'll be really interested to find out is if Michael O'Neill at Northern Ireland plays him in the defensive midfield role, or he still sees him through his defensive capabilities, because I think that's really testament to Steve Robinson. If if he, I mean, Northern Ireland have qualified for major tournaments, and unfortunately for Scotland, we've not. But if he goes into that team and he's playing in the middle of the park for an international side, I think Robinson's obviously seen something, and credit to him, to be fair.
Another guy that I think he's certainly got the support of the fans, but I've always kind of struggled to work out what role he's going to be perfect at, or which role he's going to excel at, is Liam Grimshaw. He came in at Accies and had an absolute stormer, and deservedly kept his place. And again, a very good performance from Liam Grimshaw. His Motherwell career has been littered with spells in the team, and then he'll come out. And I think partially I've kind of said he's a jack of all trades, master of none, but I think certainly it appears that right back is going to be his preferred position. What a vote of confidence he got yesterday, Richard Tate not coming back into the side.
I mean, that is a big... I was really surprised at that. Now, whether or not Richard Tate's carrying a wee niggle, I don't know, but...
Well, I think he was one of the guys that was suffering from the sickness bug the previous week against Accies.
He's actually costing me a fortune, Liam Grimshaw, because I haven't put a fiver on him the week to score the first goal for I don't know how long. I was dying for him to score a goal, and we'll have the same scenes as been said that Kupi scored in East Stand that day. I'm just dying for him to score, because I've got a feeling that I think he's a character. I've met him a few kind of club events, and he's seems a decent guy. I've watched him on Derek Watson's podcast, and he seems a really, really guy. And the thing that I really like about him is he seems to really have taken to Mullerow. And I know I'm not talking about his footballing ability, but I could watch him. See the way that he runs up and down that line at times, and he's getting the mazy runs. He just needs to score a goal, because I would love for him to score. I know that's not his game now, but as you say, he's in that position. I think his position's his now, and it's for Richard Tate to win back. And Robinson, to be fair again, I think before it as well, we were talking about Trevor Carson and Mark Gillespie. It'd been so easy for Robinson to just bring in Carson again. But he's stuck with Gillespie, and if Grimshaw continues to play the way that he has been, it's really his place to lose, and Richard Tate to take a chance when he comes back.
And that's the first time in quite some time that we've been blessed with selection dilemmas, a selection headache as well, because
I think that's down to the fact that we've actually maybe potentially got a decent left back. Do you know what I mean? It's no longer Tony Straker at left back.
It looks as if
he's... I'm not saying for any shadow that means it. He's the finished article, but certainly looks as if he is actually a left back. So we've got a left back, we've got a right back on the bench, and then we've got what I would now call Liam Grimshaw as a right back. So we are probably in a good place.
Yeah, it's the kind of void that's been left with by Stevie Hamill. We've never ever managed to fill it, the left back position. But that bench is... He's looking increasingly strong as well, and I've not been completely convinced by Devante Cole, but again, he's a player that's coming on, and he looks like if he gets a goal, then he could be up and running as well.
Yep.
It just seems like a tight bunch of guys. There's maybe 16, 17 players all pushing for a starting berth, and that can only be a good thing. One guy that wasn't on the bench yesterday and looks to be on his way out is Adam Livingston, and I've been scratching my head as to why Adam Livingston hadn't went out and loan sooner.
Yep.
It just doesn't seem to be part of the plans at this moment in time. It would be a loan deal out. There's three or four teams in the Championship, seemingly Morton the most likely destination for Adam Livingston in a 6-month loan deal. A good learning curve for the lad, because you look at Barry Maguire, seemed to be a standout for Queen of the South. He's now in and around the first team. He got on yesterday, called up to the Scotland under-21 squad. So it's a development loan, really. He's going out, he's getting game time, increases his confidence, it gets him playing against men on a weekly basis.
Yep, aye. I think Barry Maguire, if we talk about him first, I think he's been... I've not really seen enough of him. I've seen him in the 20s when I've managed to get along to the games, but... he's obviously got some about him, the boy, but he's really unfortunate that he's now kind of developed into this defensive midfield. We've just discussed Liam Donnelly, we've not really discussed the performances of Poole. I think Poole has done really well. And then Alan Campbell. I mean, Alan Campbell to me is the most important part of our squad. And I just don't see where Barry's going to get his chance. So if Adam's going to go out on loan, I don't know whether it'd be better for Barry to, or if it's in his plans to maybe go back out again. Because what you've got to remember is if Kasper Sloth comes back, Craig Tanner comes back, and sooner rather than later we're going to have David Turnbull back, where does Barry Maguire fit into that? In relation to Adam Livingston again, he's obviously not impressed the manager enough to take the chance on him. He can get hung out to dry. I think it was against Celtic when he took off, because he got subbed after being a sub, if I'm right in saying that.
Yeah, he pulled up with cramp. And
Robinson was quite critical of him at the time. I don't know if that was just a kind of, as we style of management at the time. But I don't know. I mean, there's been times where Richard Tate's converted to left back, and we've had to, I think if Robinson thought that he was good enough, he would have played more by now. So I definitely think that he definitely needs to go out in loan, and he's then judged, because you look at guys like Ross McLean is now kind of sitting down at Falkirk and maybe not getting a game, and we all had high hopes for him. So there's not very often that Muller will get it wrong with guys.
Oh, very, very rarely. And I think the only guy that ever really comes up in conversation is Stevie Lawless, and it's not as if he's had a decent enough career, I suppose.
Right.
But,
I mean, it would never be one that I would ever say, oh, I wish we'd never get rid of him. I don't know. I think
it would prevent him scoring against us, mind you.
Right, he likes a goal, doesn't he, against Morrow. But I think if he goes out and he's judged then, and if he comes back, I don't know how long the contract Jake Carroll's on, but if he does well, then fair play to him. Plenty of players have been out on loan and come back and made a career. So just really need to wait and see where that one, because I think it's hard for any of us to judge him at certainly playing in the first team.
Well, you can stagnate as well, can't you? I saw the picture that went with the, I think it was the Sunday Mail article, and he was coming on for Lionel Ainsworth. I was thinking, that's what now? 3 seasons ago.
He's been there for a while, and
so he's obviously been kind of on the brink for that length of time and not got his opportunity. So building up some first team experience is very important. It's all well and good being familiar with your surroundings and the dressing room and stuff like that, but there's no substitute for actually being on the green stuff and playing every week.
I think the best example of that is probably Dom Thomas. I think he was the kind of, it's great. Look, I'd watched a lot of them when Muller was still there playing at Airdrie or Fir Park in the 20s, and I was really excited about Dom, and it was almost as if he was too good to get on loan but not quite good enough to get into the first team. And I think for Dom's Muller career, that was a real problem. Obviously he did get on loan and there was negotiations that ended his contract. Did I think he'd been good enough? Probably not, but at the end of the day, I still think putting him out on loan would have done him the world of good. And I think the same can only be said about, we've made another example, Ross McLean, and now hopefully Adam Livingston goes out and shows that he has got that bit and he comes back. So at the end of the day, as Motherwell fans, I think you always give the players like Adam Livingston, David Turnbull, we've got that kind of a, what you call Barry Maguire and that, you always want to have your own homegrown players. You always feel a bit more attached to the guys. But who knows what will happen with that. I'm pretty confident that the management team will make the right choice with that.
But obviously keeping ever closer to the end of the transfer window, this is very, very poor research from me, but does it close tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, aye.
Here we go. So it does close.
I think it's the 1st of September, lands on a Sunday, so I don't know what time it is, because it's obviously changed. It used to be midnight. I don't know if it's 5 o'clock or whatever, but I used to like the transfer windows. But I'll be honest with you, if we got a striker in, I'd be happy. But I'm more worried that somebody comes in with a kind of an offer for Alan Campbell, to be honest. He seems to go under the radar a fair bit, and I think that I'm shocked that nobody's really been looking at him.
Well, I suppose your advantage there is that the English window as close with the exception of League One or League Two. So I don't think there's much danger there in that sense. We've talked about a striker potentially coming in. Stephen Robinson says that he is still looking to do a wee bit more business, but he's obviously had a very productive transfer window to this point. Now, Barry Maguire potentially could go out on loan. Adam Livingston looks like he will go out on loan. Jamie Semple, maybe another one that...
Aye, I think that would be another one. I mean, see the thing about Jamie Semple, I'm glad you brought him up, because I don't know why, I always thought that Jamie Semple was a striker. See, when he was a young guy, I always thought that he was going to... And he's obviously come in again, another holding midfielder. You're kind of number eight, maybe not a box-to-box, but maybe a midfielder that gets a couple of goals. And there's real big hopes for him. But I think you're spot on with that. I'd really like to see. I think he could be a great player for us. And I really hope that he goes out on loan. But what we need to be careful of is that we're not getting ahead of ourselves here and we don't have an injury crisis and all these guys are away out in loans. So again, I'm fully confident that the management team will have that sorted out. But I think he would be I would really like to see how he goes out. Even going down to, probably the Championship, I'd like to see him in rather than down further. But he looks as if it's hard to judge him, isn't it, now?
Yeah, I think he's a young boy. He's maybe not got that experience, although Morris Ross clearly took to him and gave him the captain's armband for the reserve side, which is still an honour, obviously. He's come through the ranks and it's a kind of sign of trust and a demonstration of trust that's been put in him. And he's quite often in the 18. He wasn't in the 18 yesterday.
I think that's part of his difficulty, though, because I think Jamie would probably rather be playing. But if, for example, there's an injury to Liam Donnelly, then he's going to be called up to the first team squad. He's not going to get playing in the reserves. And I think that's going to happen as we do get niggles and injuries and suspensions. He might not be the first choice pick, but he'll be the first choice to be on the bench. So if he's going to be on the bench, he's not going to get the reserve games, which means that he's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, which I think for his own career and us long term, I think that's where it would be better for him to definitely go out on loan. I would like to see him and Livingston go out on loan and maybe keeping Barry Maguire until Christmas.
One of the other talking points about players going out on loan would have been James Scott, who you hear it in. I sometimes think it's a bit of a lazy argument. Oh, he could really do with going out on loan and that'll do it under a good. But he's now a first pick. He's more regularly a starter than he is not. I think he is developing. There's still a lot of his game that needs improved. There's no doubt about that. But he started to find the net in the Betfred games. He looks confident. He's linking up well with the midfielders. He seems to have an understanding, whether it be alongside Chris Long. He's shown his ability to kind of play in the flanks as well. I think the last 2 weeks have been the best that we've seen of James Scott since he's got into the first team. Certainly not the right time for me now to be putting him out on loan. I think that's one of the ones that could actually backfire and inadvertently quite hurt the boys' confidence.
I mean, the only way that would make sense, because what Robinson's saying is if you're going to sign somebody, it's going to be a starter. And then we've got Christy Mzunga, excuse me if I'm not saying that right.
I'm just letting you go, that's fine with me.
I just hope that if we do, I mean, this is all ifs, buts and maybes, but I hope that if he does sign somebody else, it's not going to hamper James Scott's career if he's on the bench and he's coming on and off over the next kind of 6 months. And again, I think that's one that I think it'd be crazy if I'm to put him out on loan just now. I think we need to judge it again in the kind of January Christmas transfer window to see where the squad's at. Because let's not forget Craig Tanner. Craig Tanner, to me, when he got injured, was developing into one of our better players. And if he comes back to the kind of form and the fitness that he had, I mean, it's quite a tasty a forward line. It's quite a lot of options that we've got. So I hate being this confident, because usually when you're this confident, you're just setting yourself up for a huge fall. But I'm confident, and I've got 2 weeks to be confident because international breaks.
Well, I think that's possibly the best thing about winning the game before the break, and I'm sure it's tenfold for the likes of Stephen Robinson and Keith Lasley, who for a couple of days can dwell on the fact our last game was a 3-0 win, and then I'm sure they'll get back to work and, well, my deadline day tomorrow, they won't even get 48 hours to dwell on it. But that's a good thing. You've got a very solid base to be building from there. Craig Tanner, I agree with you. I think he was a big player for us, and he was developing before his injury. Though I think he's maybe one of the best examples in recent times of the fact that you can become a better player when you're not playing.
Aye, a bit like Pigger of Manas, exactly. You just took the aye, yep. Aye.
And Robinson, he said it in this very podcast actually. When I was mentioning players that the fans maybe believed that should get more game time, and that's what he said. That quite often players, I think the build up and the hype around them, and Craig Tanner, I think he surprised many the fact that he's actually got to this stage, because it looked very touch and go whether you would ever see Craig Tanner kick a ball again. So he's obviously been very determined and he's worked very hard to get to this point. But it's hard to forget that he's been out for, what, nearly 16 months now?
I know.
That's a hell of a long time.
It is, but I do wish him all the best. And I know he's only contracted until Christmas, but I would love to see him back playing. Again, he's another option. And I think he would fully expect to be playing. But you're right, though. It has been a long time, and you only really see the positive side. There was times where he did frustrate me, but again, tell me a player that doesn't frustrate you apart from Alan Campbell.
David Turnbull doesn't frustrate me, but it frustrates me quite a lot that we're not getting to see him just now as well. But
I mean, there's another point, though. I mean, when you look at it, if Turnbull comes back fully fighting fit, playing the way he did last year, I hate to say it, but we just look... Honestly, I'm setting myself up for a huge fall here, but we're almost spoilt for choice at times. And we've already mentioned Kasper Sloth. Who knows if he's... I don't know if he's maybe moved into home Kraska's house.
There always seems to be one summer signing that just kind of goes off the radar.
I know, but I mean, I can remember when Harry Campman signed Tom Kraska, and I can't even remember what age I was, and I thought, oh, I've signed a German, he must be really good because he's German. And now we've signed Kasper Sloth, who's played for Denmark. Oh, he must be 40 years of age now. I think, oh, he must be really good if he's got international caps. And it just seems to be as you say, Kasper the ghost.
It's a strange one.
It's bizarre. And but the other thing I find a bit strange is, unless I've completely missed it, because obviously I know you had Grant on before talking about the kind of press conference. I don't know if Steve Robinson's been asked, or I've never really seen much footage, and it's really been me looking on Steelman online and listening to what other fans are saying about where is he, and that's the only point. No point. I mean, do you know what his injury is? Or
no, and the thing is, it would be kind of a bit reckless to speculate. There was, before one of the Betfred games, that he was allowed to go back home due to personal reasons. But that was the extent of it. And I saw him at the Celtic game in the stand. So he's here.
I mean, I thought when he came on against Morton, I thought, this boy looks all right. He looks good in it. We'd played really well, but Morton played really, probably quite poor, to be honest. So you can't really judge him, but you can only judge what you see. And at the time, he looked as if he's decent. He's obviously played at a decent level. So he was one of the signings that I looked at. If I'm honest, the two signings that I was probably most excited about was Devante Cole and Kasper Sloth. And they've probably been two of the letdowns, although Cole did look better yesterday.
Yeah, he's only had sporadic time, but the Sloth thing is a bit of a mystery, really, and maybe there's someone, well, there's clearly someone that will know what the actual story is there. For the rest of us, we're all in a wee bit of limbo with that one.
I think you have new christening, but Kasper the ghost, so that was good.
Patter's improving. We'll look ahead to the next league game. My cliche term and my go-to term when we're talking about a game after a break or anything else is it's very hard to preview what lies ahead.
Yep.
particularly given that we're playing a Hearts side who have had an absolutely stinking start to the season. They may have a different manager in charge by the time we play them. Levine will be absolutely desperate for the first 3 points of the season because it is absolutely not going to plan for them right now.
Well, it would be quite ironic that I heard a few Hibs fans yesterday saying that they wanted their manager ousted. So it would be quite good if we could do a double and they get rid of their manager and then we go and beat Hearts. And I would love for it to be the team that beats Hearts and Levine gets sacked. That would just be... And it'd be great if it was like a last minute OG as well, just to make him even sicker. But I would hate Levine to be anything to do with Motherwell. And I think now the Hearts fans are starting to say that. But again, is this just another Motherwellism that I hate playing a team that are down there, that probably shouldn't be down there, and it's us that are going to play? It's a wee bit of a... That's me being negative again. I've been overly positive today.
Well, there's no getting away from the fact that we bought Levine some extra time, didn't we? Because if he hadn't won it for Park in the League Cup, then he would have been perhaps out in his arse before now.
Oh, definitely, aye. I wasn't overly impressed with Hearts, and I don't want to blame the weather conditions because two teams had to play in it, but I mean, the weather that night was atrocious. At one point I thought, is this game going to continue? Or I don't know if it was, is this game going to continue, or I hoped it was going to be abandoned.
I think it was the latter with myself, I must say.
Aye, certainly. I think you're right. The fact that if we had beat them, and I really do think yesterday's result would have been out. But it seems to have to fight another day. He's obviously, to be fair to the guy, I mean, I hate using the word legend, but he's a Hearts legend to an extent. He's obviously had a career there. He's done all right with him as a manager, and I think it's a massive, massive decision for the Hearts board to make to get rid of him. So I think that our game will be really pivotal. And as I said earlier, I'd love to be the team that win to get him sacked. I just think it would be hilarious.
It's one of the most atmospheric places in Scottish football, Tynecastle, but they've shown with the reaction to the Ross County draw at Tyne, the draw yesterday 2-2 with Hamilton, that they can turn against their own quite quickly as well. So if you go there and get the first goal, that would really ramp up the pressure on them. And I guess that will be Stephen Robinson and Keith Lasley's game plan as well. Go there, try and get the fans against them, even just frustrate them, keep the ball, keep possession, and that crowd can turn quite quickly. There's no reason whatsoever that we can't continue our form. We hope we don't lose any momentum from the 2-week break. But let's turn it in its head, and the spin on that would be, we've got players just now that perhaps aren't at their full power, they're not at full fitness. And we can use that 2 weeks to get them even further on. You will have, obviously, the likes of James Scott, Barry Maguire, as I mentioned, Alan Campbell, away with the Scotland Under-21s, Carson and Liam Donnelly with Northern Ireland. I think that's only players that are heading off on international duty. But you've got the core of your squad there to continue working, continue improving, and even just building up relationships, I guess, because they've only been together since the middle of June back in pre-season. It's quite a short period of time.
I think they need to build the relationships even quicker due to the format of the League Cup now. I really think that, as I said earlier on, I really like it. I mean, I really enjoyed our trip down to Dumbarton earlier this season. I know I'm going off topic a wee bit here, but people are saying, oh, we're just getting a bit of momentum and the break's coming. But it's good for fans because you go 2 weeks with positivity. But at the end of the day, it's professional, and I don't think it really makes much of a difference. If it's a week or 2 weeks we play Hearts, then it doesn't really matter to me. If we've got the form the way that we've been and it continues, then we should take something off the Hearts. I'm pretty confident about that. I'm not usually overly confident in Motherwell, so this is a real worry for me. You've probably picked the worst time for me to come on for the first time in the podcast.
Yeah, well, at the end of the season, we'll record our best bits and we'll see if your prophecies come true. But I don't think there's any reason not to be confident, particularly when you look at Hearts' form. They have struggled so far this season, though, particularly in recent years, we've had a very poor record at Tynecastle. I think we came away with, I think it was 3 times we lost there last season. Not ideal. In fact, it wasn't. We lost 1-0 at Christmas time. We lost 4-2 in the Betfred Cup quarter final. We've not got a great record there, though. That's
a difficult place to go. I mean, it is. I really like Tynecastle. I like actually going there. It's one of my favourite away days, getting the train up and going down to the ground. And then the way the ground is now, I think the new stand is really, really good. Even for the Reserve League Cup final that we're at, I quite liked their new stand and stuff. Just a pity there's Hearts that play in it. but I think, the only thing I was actually talking to one of the few Aki's fans that I know, and he was telling me his ticket was £29.
That was something on my list there that, and I did a bit in the programme yesterday about just the frustration about the growing cost. Because while you've talked up the Betfred games, that's been an extra 5 games. Added on. We're only early doors in the league, but we've played 9 games.
Well, I'll say though, about I don't know if it was picked up this point, about the Betfred. We went down to Dumbarton, and as I mentioned, my wee boy Ben, who goes everywhere, down to Anfield by myself and home and away with Motherwell. These Motherwell daft. And we went down to Dumbarton, and they were letting the under-12s in for free. Now, that maybe doesn't sound like a lot, but Motherwell were still charging, as were Queen of the South, and I just thought it was a great gesture for Dumbarton to at least try and get kids in through. Because I'll be honest with you, going back to the Aki's point, I travelled into Liverpool with the sports club in Glasgow, and I was telling them the price for me to take me and my wee boy to go to Motherwell v Hamilton, and they were absolutely shocked considering that the size of the crowd that Aki's have. It's almost as if they're trying to use that as a tactic to put us off. Now, am I being cynical? I don't know, but I just think the price of football, I don't mind paying a wee bit through the nose for if we're going to go and watch it, because that's our choice. But I generally think, see, taking kids to the games, I mean, £15 for an 8-year-old to get into Hamilton, is that realistic?
It's ridiculous. I don't think there's any getting away with from it at all. And I made the point in the programme thing yesterday. I would even take it on board if this was an improved fan experience that I was paying for or anything else. And they did edit it out, and I thought they would. But what I said is, like, the most entertainment you get out with the 90 minutes of Scottish football is working out who's found a bit of fizz in their Coca-Cola or who's got the most burnt pie. You're not paying for anything extra. And it's kind of shithouse tactics from Aki's, but you noticed as well that they were putting the sprinklers on and directing them towards the Motherwell fans the other day. So anyone that's standing in the pie queue was getting absolutely soaked.
Fair play
to them. I would have been fine if it was the other way about, but I also calculated 1,300 odd Motherwell fans there last week, according to Aki's Twitter, and I don't really believe that there was more. But let's not get into that debate, that's for another day. That's a 30 odd percent drop from the game just after Christmas last season. So the price does affect the crowd, and obviously you've got summer holidays, you've got other factors that can come into play. But by the same token, that game was, the 29th of December last year? So you're just at the back end of Christmas and everything else, so don't tell me that.
Plus the fact as well, that was a negative time. I met you in the week building up, and you were done the bit about the programme, and both of us were kind of a negative. It was doom and gloom, my Motherwell fans been like, not like today's positivity. And I think a lot of people would have been put off with that. Certainly, I would have been a last minute if I was going to go. Fortunately, as I said, I was elsewhere. Or unfortunately, because obviously I hate it when you don't go to a game and you end up your team win. But it's just so much. It's a lot of money, but people say, well, we charge. But maybe Muller will need to be the team that come out and say, right, we're going to slash the prices we're going to let under 12s in for £2.
Well, it's £3 for under 16s across the board.
Right. I just think, well, I didn't know that's.
It was the same for Hibs fans yesterday as well.
I think when you're putting off an adult and a child going, I'd never go without. But I'm sure there's other people in the same position as me. I've only got one, but for example, my brother-in-law's got three boys. So I mean, do you know what I mean? There's £45 plus, what was it, 25? Mm-hmm. Look at the amount of money that would be to virtually drive. We've just drove it. You know what I mean? I just think it's absolutely absurd the amount of money that they're charging us for. Let's be honest. I mean, people say the SPL's terrible. I would rather watch a Muller Lackeys game, obviously, or even Hearts Hibs than some of the draws you get down south. But at the end of the day, it needs to be affordable as well. And I think that's a good example, my brother-in-law, because it's not as if he could select and say, right, you're coming to this game. Doesn't it work like that?
Yeah, and I think one of the kind of beauties of supporting a smaller side as well is we don't have ticket scrambles or anything like that.
Aye.
And it kind of pains me that, and I'll be in the same boat this season, you actually be having to pick and choose your games, and that's a bit unfortunate for a fan. And I get what you're saying. You do what you can afford, but that's a dilemma being caused while there's still thousands of empty seats. And for me, that's just stupidity.
See,
driving away the fans of the next generation as well is a very dangerous game to play.
See, the thing with Ackies though is, right, and I don't want to go on to a slag, let's all slag Ackies, right?
Ah, let's do.
But I don't really class them as being a local. The only rivalry is that they're local. I mean, I think I'm about three Ackies fans, so there's this kind of a, like, when you put it on the TV, oh, it's the bragging rights at your work. I don't know any Ackies fans at my work. I maybe know two, three, four at a push. It's not as if when we bet them on Saturday that I'm texting an Ackies fan that I know. I probably get more enjoyment out of beating, obviously, the Old Firm, but even, like, Hibs yesterday, because it felt, I kind of, I don't know if this is right to say or not, but I kind of expect us to beat Ackies all the time, because I mean, it's Hamilton Ackies at the end of the day, and I actually would prefer it that it was Airdrie that was up there, because I would feel more rivalry to them, and they would definitely bring a bigger support. I just don't think they offer anything in the league at all. I'm kind of waiting on the backlash if any Ackies fans are listening to this, but I suppose bring it on. But I just feel that ironically, we're going to go and talk about the shirt thing, but it was quite funny. I was talking to somebody recently. I said, you know, one of the only shirts, I've got a shirt for everybody in Scotland, team in the SPL, Bar St Johnston and Hamilton Ackies. And the very next day, I opened a bag of strips, and the first one was a Hamilton Ackies strip. So that's not down the bottom of the pile to go in. But that's what I mean. I just don't think that I can justify. It's not like a local derby. It's not like a Hearts Hibs game. It's not like a Rangers Celtic or whatever, a game like Dundee United even. Motherwell Hamilton is just another game for me, and it's convenient because it's closer, but it's now getting to the stage where, although it's closer, it's probably cheaper for us to go to St Johnstone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And there's definitely going to be a few people pick up on the SPL, Scottish Premiership, Scott, okay, so just going forward, we'll remember that for future episodes. Now, we will go on to talk about your Football Foundation in just a second. A quick mention, at Ackies last week, I met Ali Maxwell, who was over in unfortunate circumstances. Ali over after the passing of his dad. Thoughts with Ali, yeah, who has been a brilliant guest on the podcast in the past. It's been very good to myself personally. Anything we've asked Ali to do, he's always been more than willing to come on and talk about his time at Motherwell. Obviously a very difficult time for the whole family there. It was great to see Ali. I just hope the next time it is in more better circumstances and happier circumstances. So thoughts certainly with Ali.
He is one of the guys that when you think about that cup final, everybody kind of automatically thinks about David Cooper, Phil O'Donnell, even like Sid Dougie Arnott. But I mean, what Ali Maxwell did on that day, I mean, I've got the hairs are standing up in the back of my neck even thinking about it. I was in kind of primary seven at the time, and it's still the greatest footballing day of my life, and that's really thanks to him. I mean, he is I said earlier, a bit of a legend, but for that performance, he is, I mean, that whole team are legends, but particularly Ali Maxwell was just great. It was just a bit of a shame that he left, but that was for, he was quite right. That was for his, we forget sometimes that footballers have got families to support as well, but he certainly is one of my all-time favourite Motherwell players. So all the bit I didn't know that was the circumstances, so my thoughts are with him as well.
And we'll go on and we'll talk about your football foundation, a trip to Zambia in September of next year.
Yep.
A year away now, as we move into September.
Well, obviously I had the kind of big charity night last night at the Centenary Suite my plan is to go on the 7th September, and my plan was to have it exactly a year, but I think it's there's a tribute night on in the Centenary Suite, and I was quite I was wanting to have it in the club. The club's been really good to me, but yeah, basically I often say this and it sounds horrible, but I'm not really been a charitable person. Now, what I mean by that is, it's not like watching Comic Relief and putting half my wages into direct debits and stuff, but I just had this idea that taking football kits over to Zambia and giving them to the local community, because I think that it is going to make a big difference. I mean, I've got pictures of young kids that are playing football with no shoes on in a kind of pitch. It makes playing football with a mould master in the 80s in Ash Park, it makes that look serious. So I think my passion for football, and it's really taking over, and to be honest with you, I've been overwhelmed with the help and support, and I include you in that. It's been nothing short of amazing. It really has. All joking aside, it's really kind of made me look at life a wee bit different. I've not even been there yet. Not just for going over and helping enough, but people that are willing to help and come forward, it's been great. So if anybody's wanting to follow it, you can go into mainly my Facebook, but I'll need to get a wee bit up to more speed with the Twitter side of things. So it's going really well.
Brilliant. And obviously the charity night last night, raising a great amount of money towards your cause.
Aye.
These things, I know myself, take a hell of a lot of effort. It must be a nice feeling now you've got that out the way, no, I suppose, that first event.
I knew I was coming on here today, and I thought, I'm really looking forward to that, because I know that'll be... I was really looking forward to it, I was really excited, but it was quite a stressful situation, because I'm doing this just myself. So, I mean, there was 170 people there, I think, last night, and it was phenomenal. It was quite innerly emotional, because you've got to look at it, and everybody was there. You came down very well yourself last night. It was such a good night. And what I would like to say, though, is that I think being a fan on club, this is really, I mean, I've had a meeting with Alan Burrows over it. The club shop are good with me, and Wendy in the Thicket office has been great with us. The bar staff last night were great, and I'm really trying to integrate the club into this. Now, this will take us on to the next point. Like, you and I have had a couple of discussions that kind of a part of, I don't think it's selfish, but I would just love for a kind of a picture of a village in Zambia fully Motherwell shirts. So I think between us, we'll try and arrange a kit drive for, I'll take any kits, but particularly I'd like for the Motherwell fans. I know it's hard for some Motherwell fans to part with their Motherwell gear, but some are less hoarders than others. So that's one of my visions. Alan Burrows is going to try and get us a couple of full kits for the community clubs, or the ladies club. So I'm really wanting to have the club with the club being with the Wales Society and stuff, I think it would be a great bit of kind of PR for the club. I know that's not my role, but for personal achievement, I think it would be great to have 200 or 300 school kids wearing Motherwell strips. I know you've seen my favourite collection that I've got so far is the tractor print Hummel kit.
A full set, no less.
I had a collection point or a drop off point at Tesco in Wishaw. Somebody sent me a picture of it, and I was zooming in, and I'm sure that is the tractor top, my favourite Mulrow strip. I'm like, surely that can't be, and I was praying it was going to be in my size. I don't even know if they made that in double XL, but that's me being quite good to myself getting at that.
They're tight fitting, mate.
But when I got there, I seen one, and I'm like, there's more there, and there's more kit, and I was quite excited, and then it was quite good the way that it all went. It went viral in Lanarkshire, if you like, and we managed to trace where the strips had came from, but it's great. I've got a storage container and stuff like that. Storage vault over at Coatbridge gave me that for free. I've had support for local businesses. It'd be too many to name, but it's been great. Working in partnership with the Butterfly Tree Charity. So as you say, I'm going out next year. I've got a football tournament organised. I've got a trophy named after my dad, my young cousin Andy, who passed away. And my wee boy's school's going to be involved. It's just been a really exciting time in my life, and it's something that, if you'd sat to me this time last year and said you'll be on the podcast talking about your trip to Zambia, I would have thought you were absolutely mental. But it's probably the most positive thing that I've done in my life, and if anybody is interested in or got items to donate, you can contact us through any of the social media, or contact, you know, you put me in touch with them. But everybody has been amazing. I would just like to thank everybody that's took an interest in it. Thanks to yourself yesterday. You done a great article in the programme, which will be something I'll be able to keep forever. So I really appreciate that. And obviously as well, what you've done with getting a wee bit of recognition or a wee bit of publicity for sponsoring Jermaine Hilton's away shirt. Again, that's something else that it might not seem like a big thing, but then the players will get talking about it, and before you know it, it's just a great thing. So thanks very much for all your help.
No, my pleasure, mate. And of course, what Scott was saying there, the sponsorship draw is still open. We're still working towards our target there. You can donate on the podcast website. Each £5 entry will get you a chance to go to the Player of the Year do, and also win either Jermaine Hilton or Sherwin Seedorf's away shirt.
If you don't want it, I'll take it to Zambia with me.
But he won't wear it because it's not a double XL.
No.
Obviously a good time as well, given that both players scored yesterday. Unfortunately not wearing the away kit, but we couldn't get our marketing completely spot on there, but it was as good as it's going to get, I reckon.
Thank you.
Scott, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Likewise, I really appreciate you having us on, and quite enjoyed it.
Quite enjoyed it.
I've been positive enough today, so solid, really enjoyed it, Andy. It's been great.
A solid 6 out of 10, just went up to about a 9 there. You've been listening to the MSC podcast. We'll be back a week on Monday following the Hearts game. Until then, thank you and goodbye. I'll back my car into
all flown on. All right.